We're opening God's Word. Well, we opened the God's Word in a few places, but we're going to open which Abur has already mentioned in his prayer. John's Gospel, chapter 3, please. John's Gospel, chapter 3. Just want to keep your finger there and make a remark. The scriptures tell us from Adam and Eve when they fell in sin in Genesis, all mankind have sinned. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And through that, Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And so I want you to read with me a few verses in John's Gospel, chapter 3. I want you to continue reading with me in verses 15, 16 and 17. Now, and the reason why I want you to read with me, because I want the people who are listening, that were reading the Word of God, it's not me quoting them. I and I, they would sit with the Bible and read it as well. 15, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, see them two verses. You can't spot them two verses when you read it like that. And in verse 17 it says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. How does God do that? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Who should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world might through him be saved. How does God do that? For you are not saved, or don't know anything about the Bible. This is how he does it. I want you to come back to John 3 again and come in at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that's how God does it. His Son went to Calvary's cross and died and bled upon a tree and made that sacrifice for mankind. His death and his resurrection had paid that debt of sin for me. He paid a debt that he didn't owe, and I owed a debt that I couldn't pay. And that's how he made it all possible. It was God's mighty plan that he should do this for mankind, to bring them back to his God again, reconcile them through the precious blood of his own begotten Son. The cross was the sacrifice. The cross was the payment. Yes, he suffered and he bled and died, but it was his death and resurrection that paid the price. It was only acceptable way for the Father, God the Father, to get mankind to come back. The Son could say, not my will, but thy will be done.
See, man can now be reconciled to his God. We all must go by the way of the cross. There's no other way. And if you're looking for another way, you're not, it's the wrong way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. Amen. So let us see in our few verses. We know that we have to come by the way of the cross. Come on at verse 18 of John chapter 3. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So if you believe, you're not condemned. But friend, this evening, let me tell you, you're already condemned. You're already condemned by the sin from our first parents, Adam and Eve. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 35 of the same chapter, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hands. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. What will he see? He'll see the wrath of God that abideth on him. Friend, tonight, the problem is, in the world today, is sin. And the second problem is unbelief. That's the two main things. Sin and unbelief. There have been many mighty preachers of the gospel throughout all the ages. Many mighty preachers preaching the wonderful gospel of our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there have been no preacher like the Lord Jesus Christ himself. John 7 and 46 tells us this, never man spake like this man. Never man spake like this man. So the Pharisees and the scribes sent new officers to arrest them. And when they went and heard him speak, they couldn't touch him. Never man spake like this man. This is God's word this evening. It's nothing to do with me or anybody else in this hall. This is God's word you're hearing tonight. And Luke 24:32 tells us this. And the disciples are on the road to Emmaus. It was said earlier on in the back meeting there, for the prayer meeting. Did our hearts not burn within us while he opened the scriptures? And I'm praying tonight that scriptures tonight will burn within you, and you will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the only way you're going to get it. And you can't get it any other way, because there is no other way. I want you to come with me now to Luke chapter 8. We're going to read from verse 4 to verse 8. And you'll find in verse 1 that there's a great crowd gathered. Or verse 4, there's a great crowd gathered.
And we'll start with verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. And here was the parable that he spake. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed it. Some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it, and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." The Lord used a parable, and the brother used last week. I think even he spoke on the parable as well. I remember a couple of weeks before that there. And the Lord used the parable to convey spiritual truths into an understanding way. It places something alongside something else to make a comparison. Though to me, to be in a simple thought, that suits me all right because I can understand it. In Matthew 5 and 13, he likened the believers to be as salt as the earth and the light of the world. In Matthew 6, he has examples of birds and flowers he brought in concerning their life's essentials. In Matthew 7, we are told to build on solid foundations, not loose sand or human philosophy. Now, I want you to come with me to Matthew chapter 5 because I want you to go through this quickly with you. Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5 verse 13, please. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but for salt has lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth no good, it is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, can it be hid? Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that ye may see see your good works, and glorify the Father which is in heaven." I was saying in the back room, there's something for the believer here. And there's something for the unbeliever here. And Matthew 6, let's go to Matthew 6. And verse 26. And he's telling us this: "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, and neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, and how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You see what the Lord is doing here by the teaching and the way of the parable. I want you to come in Matthew 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto as a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, a great was the fall of it. The Lord is trying to teach here by a parable the things he's trying to get over to the disciples. In Luke chapter 8, verse 9 and verse 10 read, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in the parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. The mysteries of the kingdom of God. Isaiah says in chapter 6 verse 9, the Lord said to Isaiah, go tell the people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Israel had rejected God, and therefore God was going to reject Israel. Let me tell you, friend, tonight, if you're not saved, you'll be rejected, certainly, because you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. There's only one place that you're bound for, and sad to say, it's that place called hell. In Luke chapter 8 and Matthew 13, the Lord Jesus Christ, by parables, the unbelieving world could not understand the truth. But he also said, the truth is easy seen by hearing and believing eyes. How can an unbeliever understand God's word? He's already sitting in the back room there. We didn't know. When we get saved, we didn't know nothing about the Word of God. If you told her where to go for looking for a verse, you wouldn't know where to go. The kingdom of God is by the new birth. Matthew 18 and 3 says this, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Can't make it any clearer to you. John 3 and 5 tells us this, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Friend, you must be born again. The Lord said, marvel not that you must be born again. This is Jesus Christ himself. It's telling you how to get saved. This is Jesus Christ from telling you what you have to do. In Luke 8, chapter 11, it says this. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Friend, tonight, the Bible is the written word of God. His Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the living word. And He gives the Scriptures life. This is a living book. It's a living word. You get life when you read it. And you get more life when you accept it. John 5 and 39 tells us this. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are which it testify of me. This testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an old time book, but it's a new time book. Ah, but it goes further than that. It's an old time book. It started from creation. It goes into eternity, everlasting life. It's your choice. John 5 and 40 says, and you will not come to me that you might have life. All you want to do it your way. Because of unbelief, they refuse God's light. They saw all the miracles. They heard all the teaching. They didn't even recognize as a Messiah or receive him as the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior. No difference today. Not one but a difference today. When the Lord spoke in the temple, what did they say? Luke 4 and 22. This is the son of Joseph. They wouldn't recognize him. If he came back today, they wouldn't recognize him. Matter of fact, they might even stone him. But if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And friend, if you're rejecting, if you've heard it and rejected it, if you haven't heard it, you have a chance to do it. In whom the God of this world, the devil, has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Gospel's good news. We're here to bring good news tonight, but where there's good news, there's always bad news. See, the sower is one, and the seed is one. But there's something else here. It is the soil that differs. The soil that differs. I want you to read with me from 11 to verses 15. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have not looked, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word, kept it, and bring it forth with patience. The Lord's trying to get through to us. I wish I had got the understanding years ago myself. The sower is one, the seed is one. The soil differ. Friend, there's four ways in which we may hear, and there's of those four, only one's right. Out of the four, there's only one right. There are three kinds of hearers whose souls are in an immediate peril. They're in peril at this very minute. There is only one of the hearers who are right in the sight of God. And you and I, brothers and sisters tonight, you and I could well find each of these types in any crowd that gathers to hear the word of God. It could be here. And I want you to try and do this as simple as you can do it, and as the way the Lord assured me to do it. A brother and I were talking after last week, we were talking about questions and answers. And that stopped me, because it's easy to understand it. Verse 5. A sower went out to sow a seed. And he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. There's the answer in verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 6. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Look at verse 13, there's the answer. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have not root which for a while believe, in the time of temptation fall away. Verse 7. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. There's the answer. Verse 14. And they which fell among the thorns are they which they, when they heard, go forth and choke with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit for perfection. And verse 8. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit hundredfold. Verse 15. But on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word and kept it, and bring forth fruit with patience. And 12. In verse 12, we find God is telling us that you must be saved. See, in verse 12, verse 5 and verse 12, they're only casual listeners. It doesn't go on. God knows you must be saved. The Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, knows you must be saved. The Holy Spirit knows you must be saved. The devil knows you must be saved, because he's coming to take the seed away so you'll not believe and be saved. He's coming away to take it away. And friend, do you know tonight you must be saved? God knows. The Son knows. The Spirit knows. The devil knows. The preacher knows. You must be saved. For by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Six and 13. There was no root. No root. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. It's a religious experience. This is marvellous. I've never felt like this before. I've arrived to join a church. And all into the activities, they're eager beavers. Then difficulties. And then problems. And then the word to twisted the man's command. The way. There'd be no repentance. There'd be no change. There'd be no fruit. No root. John 8:31. If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Timothy 3:12, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's not an easy peasy thing. First Peter 5:10 tells us, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establishes you, strengthens you, and settles you. They weren't hanging about to see what was going to happen, because there was nothing there. There was no root. Someone wrote this: anything of real value comes with a cost. Why should following the Lord Jesus Christ be any different? Why should it be any different? If you think it's a holiday camp, Don't borrow a common. Fourteen tells us, and they which fell among the thorns are they which, when they heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, bring no fruit to perfection. See, wilderness are the weeds that choke. The priority is money, possessions, and careers and all the other things. There's nothing wrong with some of them things, because they're sometimes a gift from God. But sometimes they become a priority. That's what chokes the seed. Scripture tells us everything's temporary. We're not here for long. 1 John 2 and 17 tells us that, and the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You have an opportunity tonight to have eternal life. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Some of these things, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Friend, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ died in Calvary and was buried and rose again the third day. And now it's ascending into heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. You have an opportunity tonight, which a lot of us didn't have. We're kind of old, middle-aged men before we came. But there's others that didn't get the chance, and they're in hell. I can't put it any other way, because I'd be lying to the word of God. If you don't get saved and die in your sin, yes, you'll go to hell. It's as simple as that. You've heard what scripture have said tonight, and how even the Lord himself tried to make it simple. See, the devil stole the seed what was rendered fruitless. And two, the flesh has choked the seed. And the world. But the good seed, well, the good seed, that commenced the harvest because it was in good ground. See, the other three resisted. They resisted. There was something there to resist them. We don't get it easy at times, do we? It's no picnic. And the old archenemy of Blair was talking about this morning. It's like a roaring lion devouring all in his path. And temptations come upon us. And troubles. And problems. But he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, which at times we do grieve him. and hinder him. But if he gets his way, he can do great mighty things with us. But these people here, things hinder them. But look at 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word of a word and kept it, and bring forth fruit with patience. The good ground, an honest heart, having heard the word. They received it. They kept it. As the soil not only receives, but keeps the seed. Where the word is well kept, there is fruit brought forth with patience. The honest heart knows. And what it means by the honest heart, he knows he is wrong and a sinner.
Oh, yeah.
He knows he's a sinner. He knows he's condemned and unclean. And that he came to the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. We'll study from John's Gospel, chapter 3. And we'll come through these parables and look. And friend, if you're not sure, I feel sorry for you. My prayer tonight is that you get before the Lord and seek him while he may be found. Because if you're unsaved and still in your sin, you're in peril of going to a terrible place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. For by faith, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing with the word of God. We commit it to you that God may undertake. We ask and thank the Lord for the reading of his precious word. Amen. Jordan, remember you close with prayer for us.
Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you indeed for the message tonight.
Yeah.
The message tonight was simple, and I could understand every word of it. I'm not saying something. And we thank you, Lord, for undertaking for David, because we say it here so often, to get on that platform on your own team as a complete and utter disaster. So, Father, you undertook for David tonight, you put those words in his mouth, and they came out simple and pure. And to those people tonight who are listening on the internet, indeed, they will be, without a shadow of doubt, convicted of their sin. Where they come in repentance and faith, that's something I don't know. Because I think all of us here tonight at one time or another have done the same thing and didn't come. So Father, I thank you tonight for this time in your presence.
Yes.
I thank you for undertaking for David and indeed for Sean this morning. And Father, indeed, I don't know whether it's a cup of tea or not tonight, but if there is, Lord, we pray that you'll bless it to our bodies. For we do ask it all, giving thee thanks, honour and praise in the wonderful and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks, Scotty. I was going to have a cup of tea.